You see, I sit across from a man. I see his face. I see his eyes. Now, does it matter if he wants $100 of paper or $100 million of deep sea drilling equipment? Don't be a fool. He wants respect. He wants love. He wants to be younger. He wants to be attractive. There is no such thing as a product.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG, every so often, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. New year, new us, new podcast. Before we get into it, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN, follow Weiss at NYG Daily, follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a mean review this time. Don't leave us a kind review. Tell us something that you don't like about us. Just make sure that the rating is 5 stars. Change it up a little bit. Get the hate out of your heart early. All right. Weiss, we're back.
We are back.
We are in the aftermath of FanFest.
Is this our season premiere?
I guess it is. Yeah. I guess this is our season premiere. And what year is this for us? Is this year 5?
Well, we started in 2015. So, yeah, 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. This is what, year 6?
So year 6. Yes. Wow. How the time flies.
6 years. We've been running our mouth for 6 years.
For 6 years. And it just seems like people hate us more and more every day. At least me.
Yeah.
You, not so much, but whatever.
They don't hate me, but they only hate me when I criticize. Which has not been a lot recently. I'm surprised.
No.
I'm more optimistic than you are. But yet I still get
angry. Yes. Yeah. Any anti-Giants rhetoric by a Giants fan is punishable by, I don't know what is punishable by. By Twitter harassment, you could say.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's always fun. It's always a good time.
I mean, I think I've been fairly positive.
Bro, I said I've been like balls deep in hockey and Islanders Twitter because like the way that the season, like obviously it was a very good season. They went very far. They made it to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. But just
I wanted to talk to you about this. I'm happy you brought this up. So,
oh boy.
What are your thoughts on the Islanders season? Because I actually watched their last game, Game 7.
Did you really?
I did, start to finish.
Okay, so that probably left a bad taste in your mouth. You know, obviously a disappointing ending.
Did you expect them to win that series going into it?
I did. I knew it would be hard. I mean, Tampa is the best team in the league, and they're cheaters. So, you know, going up against a team that's $18 million over the salary cap and has all their players healthy is obviously going to be a challenge, especially when you're missing your captain and probably your best scorer. So knew it was going to be tough. I still had full expectations of them to win. You go to Game 7, you lose 1-0 on a shorthanded goal. Going to be devastating. But unlike the Giants, this team is in win-now mode and has probably like a 2 to 3 year window where they're expected to at least make a Stanley Cup final appearance.
They're championship contenders. Like the Giants are in win now mode too, but they're not serious contenders.
Sure, and we'll get into that. Yeah. No, there are expectations around the Islanders and their GM, who's notoriously quiet in clamping down. The old guy, Lou Lamoriello, who's notoriously quiet about what he wants to do and what he's going to do, has only announced one contract so far this offseason, whereas every other team is basically done. So, you know, there's probably something going on behind the scenes, something big that we don't know about yet.
And, so what are your thoughts on their offseason so far?
I mean, it's been a great offseason. I mean, they signed their best defenseman and probably one of the best defensive defensemen in the league to an unbelievable deal. Like the AAV and the term, tremendous, very, very happy. It looks like they're bringing back all of their restricted free agents and have handshake deals with a few unrestricted free agents. But again, it's like a total mystery about what this team is going to do because we think the GM is working on some big trade behind the scenes to, you know, make the team like even better. Get them a good scorer for the top six. Yeah. So, devastating way to end the season, but the team is good. The fan base is in high spirits and the expectations are even higher.
And this is interesting because a couple years ago they lost their best player,
We don't say his name. Yeah.
I actually forgot his name.
Good. And you should never remember it. He plays for
I do know he went to Toronto. Yes.
Yeah. We don't say that name around these parts anymore. But anyway, back to the original point where I've sort of been ingrained in the hockey Twitter and the Islanders Twitter and sort of having a good time. And I tweeted actually tonight, as before we were recording, that for the first time in like years, this has really been like, I would say 90% of Islanders Twitter is getting along with each other. And it's like very kumbaya and people are happy because the team's doing well and everyone's really on the same page about what to do and what's going on. Unlike in Giants world where, I finally decided a couple days ago to dip my toes into the water and tweet out a take. And I put my phone down. I think I was probably out to dinner. I tweeted out, put my phone down. I picked my phone up after dinner and had about 22 quote retweets. I believe the kids call that a ratio.
What did you say?
I don't know. It was probably something negative because the team's been really bad since basically the inception of this podcast. And, we started off this podcast saying, people didn't take too kindly to it. And day by day, and more Giants-related tweets, more and more hate, more and more quote tweets. And I hate to say this and admit it, but it feels good to just be back in the mud.
They hate you so much that they love you.
Exactly. We have a podcast that gets thousands of downloads per episode, and we've got thousands of Twitter followers, you obviously more than me, but you know what? The haters, bring it on.
Well, I got some hate the other day because I said...
We're back in the mud.
Yeah, I got some hate the other day because I said... This is actually my first critique of the Giants since probably before the draft. And I don't tweet much during the off season. I basically said, look, the 2018 draft is looking like it's going to be a disappointing one. Brutal was the word I used.
And I think you're being a little kind, to be honest.
Yeah, and I pointed to the fact that the three of the four players, Will Hernandez, Lorenzo Carter, B.J. Hill, they're entering contract years, and they don't look like guys that are guaranteed to get a second contract. Like, they're not guys you're losing sleep over. Like, oh, my God.
Right.
I can't lose this guy, right? And then I said, hey, look, I think the Giants are still waiting for that generational impact from Saquon Barkley. We can talk about the pick. Well, no. That's the thing. I didn't even talk about the pick, like, whether it was the right pick or not. I just said I'm still waiting for, like, wow, that is generational, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's a great player. I think you and I can both agree he's one of the best at his position when he's healthy. But
we're also saying if you're picked second overall, you should probably know how to fucking pass block.
Well, I didn't even think about that. I was just talking more in terms of like the impact that he's had. I've seen other great backs in this league have. So it's like, how many generational backs are there in this generation? Is there like
apparently a lot if Saquon is the standard?
Yeah. So. All I said was I'm just waiting for that, and apparently it got turned into me being a hater and this and that. But in reality, I'm just saying, look, I'm waiting for that generational impact, right? What did Dave Gettleman say at his press conference? He makes your quarterback better. He makes your defense better. Yeah. He's a 5-2 makes player. Your offensive line forget. I will never forget that press conference. Never.
Yeah, me neither.
So
you know what's funny though, you and I have a Hall of Fame batting average, I think, when it comes to the Giants. And yeah, that might be an arrogant and cocky thing to say, but it's also probably true. I think one of my worst takes is from that 2018 draft, actually.
Mine
where,
too.
And I think people can pull up the tweet. I believe it was Ben McAdoo picked Davis Webb. Pat Shurmur picked Kyle Lauletta. I think I know who I'm trusting. And I think that was obviously like a dig at Ben McAdoo and saying that I trust Shurmur.
Right.
And that I think Kyle Lauletta would be a good backup. And boy, one reckless driving incident later, and oof, that take is up in flames.
I get reminded about this all the time. I was a big proponent of the Giants taking quarterback in 2018. I felt like
trade back guys. It was either take a quarterback, and I still. Yeah. What pisses me off the most about the people that go, "Oh, you wanted Josh Rosen." Okay, you go back to my Twitter of draft night. The last tweet that I sent before the draft started was quarterback or trade back, and tonight is a win. And people just conveniently love to leave out the fact that a trade back was an option on the table.
And it was funny that we heard that the Bills, I don't know if you saw that, but the Bills.
Oh, yeah, actually, I saw. Yeah.
I don't want to make this about 2018 again. My only thing was I said it's time that the Giants take a quarterback because it was the first time since like the 1980s that the Giants were picking in the top and had the second overall pick. So I said, hey, you know, history says you don't get a crack at this that many times, so you might as well take a swing at a quarterback.
Right.
But Josh Rosen was the one that I liked.
Me too. You know what? And here's the thing. The teams that did select Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold, they swung, they missed. But you know what? They are not still paying for the sin of taking those players, whereas the Giants are still paying for the sin of taking Barkley second overall.
But yes, you are correct.
That's the only point.
The Giants are still dealing with those issues. The Giants aren't necessarily paying for taking Barkley second overall. They're paying for the fact that they haven't realized, well, it took them a while to realize what we were doing was not going to get us where we want to get to. Maybe they're on the right track now. Like I think we
complimented.
Yeah, I think we were gloating over that draft. Yes.
Yeah, and even 2 years ago, but
yes. But you get the gist of it. And
yeah.
Look, I have nothing against Saquon Barkley. I'm not even somebody that's like you who says you can't draft the. I think you can draft the running back. I actually think if they would have traded back and took Saquon Barkley, I would have been fine with it. But
me again. Too, because you're getting draft capital. You're not right. It's the opportunity cost.
So it's just funny to me where I make an observation that I think in a year, if I look back on that tweet, a lot of people that replied to me and said certain things to me are going to look completely foolish.
I agree.
But look, the Giants since 2018, you can look at their record. The draft class has not had the impact. Even Saquon Barkley's impact has not nearly been what it needed. It needs to be his impact. No. And, the record speaks for itself. And so, this year we'll see. I hope he's healthy. The Giants are hoping he's healthy. He's an important part of this team. And if the Giants are going to go to where I think they're going to go, here's opportunistic me. They are going to need Saquon Barkley healthy and ready to go.
Sure. All right. And that's a pretty good segue into the 2021-2022 season. Now that we're done harping on Saquon and the past and the Twitter
negativity
haters. So let's start off with this, because I think you and I disagree a bit on what our expectations are, because I do recall at the end of, I don't know if it was the end of last season or it might have been, you know, after free agency and the draft, where I'll turn this into a question for you actually, where your expectations,
it was a proclamation
team, sure. Yes. That sort of answers my question then.
Yes.
Was essentially, this team needs to make the playoffs in 2021.
This team is going to make the playoffs in 2021.
Okay, so you really answered my question. So you think that they have to and that they will?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not saying they're going to win the NFC East.
I'm not saying they're going to win the NFC East. But I do think the New York Giants are going to be a playoff team.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, look, if shit happens and players get injured, but I think... I will go on record, and I think the Giants are going to make the playoffs because I do believe that Daniel Jones will take not a major step forward, but how about this? A good enough step forward. Where you will feel confident that I can win a Super Bowl with this guy as my quarterback if I put the right pieces around him.
So let me follow up. So let me follow up my question with another question.
Yes.
Why do you feel that way about Daniel Jones?
Because I believe the talent is there, and I believe that the mistakes that he makes are fixable. Now, I believe that the Giants didn't do a good job of putting pieces around him last year. And I think one of the major problems, and this is what concerns me about my proclamation, is that I don't think they have the right offensive coordinator. But okay. That's a big piece, but yeah. I think, and obviously their offensive line is a little concerning to me as well. Not as much as the average person, but it is definitely concerning. But we have to remember something. If Evan Engram catches that pass, which was a beautiful pass, the New York Giants are in the playoffs at 7-9. And we're having a totally different conversation. But we're not going to dwell on that. I just think that they have a good enough team around him where he doesn't need to necessarily make people around him better, which I don't think he's capable of doing. But I think he is going to be good enough where they can win 10 games and get to the playoffs.
Here's my problem.
Yes.
And I see your point, and I can appreciate your optimism, right? Yes. And I think what a lot of people like...
I think Daniel Jones was really good his rookie year. I think he doesn't get enough credit. I think he did a lot of good things. When you watched him, there were things there where you're like, okay, this is impressive. Now, I know the turnovers are there, and I know and it was there last year as well, but if the Giants can get that rookie season Daniel Jones, and you can cut the turnovers by, I don't know, 25%.
But even then, okay, so here's my problem.
Yes.
Right?
See, and your problem is I understand what you... Okay, go ahead. Tell me what your problem is.
My problem is upside, okay? And this, yes. Like, right? And I don't know who sent this tweet, but this was like a week ago, maybe, and it was not like a big account. It was like a fan account, and it really went sort of semi-viral on Giants Twitter, and it really like got under my skin, right? It was like, oh, Dan Jones does is turn over the balls, but he had zero interceptions weeks 8-16 if Evan Engram, you know, catches a ball or doesn't go off his fingertips, right? So yeah. People are like, oh, you know, he cut down on his interceptions. At the same time, the second half of last season from weeks 8-16, where people are saying, oh, he improved because he didn't throw any turnovers. One, he didn't even play two of those games start to finish due to injury.
Okay, yeah.
On top of that, he averaged 234 yards per game. And in the six games that he did play from start to finish, he only threw six touchdowns. So my problem is, yes, Daniel Jones can make better decisions when it comes to throwing the football, right? He can throw fewer interceptions. He can have better pocket awareness, which I find is going to be very, very difficult for him this season because the offensive line, unless Will Hernandez and Andrew Thomas take massive steps, is going to be difficult because they got rid of a veteran offensive lineman in Zeitler, and I wasn't the biggest fan of his mostly due to cap hit. But he was still a good starting piece. I digress.
Oh, by the way, they have to get rid of him. They have to get rid of him because of mistakes made in prior years, which we just talked about.
Of course. Yeah, well, okay, we're not going to harp on that. But my point is that, right? Even when Dan Jones did cut down on turnovers, the upside still wasn't there. 234 yards per game and six total touchdowns is not going to do it in a league in which every single year – we see that passing offenses succeed more and more and more. And you can say, oh, it's his fault. You can say it's Garrett's fault because it's the least creative offense in the NFL. You can blame the offensive line. Either way, the argument that we've been basically harping on for the last 4 years, the fish rots from the head down because all those decisions originate at the same focal point.
Yes.
Doesn't matter. Right? My problem is the upside. And not to go back to 2018 in a negative way. I mean this in a very positive way, right? Where I think us as fans and executives around the league learned a very important lesson in 2018, okay? You and I were both fans of Josh Rosen.
Yes.
I would have been okay if they went with Darnold, although he was probably my fourth favorite quarterback in the top. And Josh Allen was like so far down on my list. I wanted nothing to do with him. But what I think we learned in 2018 was that when it comes to the NFL, and especially the quarterback position, you should always take a shot on upside. And that's what the Bills did with Josh Allen. It's what the Browns did with Baker Mayfield. They saw the swagger. They saw the arm talent. They saw the ability to lead. They saw the big playability. And they said, you know what? Yeah, like some of these guys are a bit more accurate and a bit more polished, but I want that raw athletic upside, and I want that ability to really just take over a game. We're sort of yet to see that from Dan Jones, right? Like, yeah, he can break a nice run every now and again, but like,
he has not. You don't think he has athletic upside?
No, I think he has athletic upside in the sense that like he can move around and he can run, but in terms of like that alpha mentality where he can just really take over a game and really sling it, like Josh Allen and even Baker Mayfield, like some of those Browns teams when he's first started were awful, and he still came in and led them to wins. Like, we just, you know, we saw that in Dan Jones' first start and have sort of yet to see it since.
Well, that's the thing. The reason why, and I like that you brought up slinging it, the reason why I enjoyed his rookie season was because there was no training wheels on him. I think they just went out there and I think a lot of it was because, you know, in a sense, you know, Pat Shurmur was worried about his job security.
Sure.
To a certain extent. And I think he wanted to just let Daniel Jones showcase what he can showcase. I think there is upside there. Maybe not as much upside as there was with other guys. Like, Josh Allen had super upside. I can't think of another quarterback that had as much upside. Like, you want to talk about boom or bust. I can't think of a guy that was more boom or bust in recent memory than Josh Allen. I mean, that.
Of course. But I think that's the direction you need to go when evaluating the quarterback situation. That was my point.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the upside is a valid point, but we also have to take into consideration is Daniel Jones is in his third year. He's had two different head coaches, two different offensive coordinators. This is probably the best talent he's had around him in terms of skill position, right? The reason why this year is so important, not just because it's his third year, but they actually built a decent offense. Like, I know their offensive line still has problems, but they've invested in their offensive line. They're hoping that guys make that next step. But bringing in Kenny Galladay, bringing in Kadarius Toney, keeping Sterling Shepard, like it's a lot different than where they were last year when they were banking on. Like, understand something. Last year, if you go back and watch the Giants play, their only real playmaking option was to throw a jump ball to an undersized 30-plus-year-old receiver in Golden Tate, who, for the most part last season, really half-assed his way through the year.
Correct. Fuck.
Right? Right?
Yep.
So a lot of that has changed. Like, now Daniel, like, I'm not sitting here saying that Daniel Jones is going to make people around him better. That's not what I'm saying. But I think that if you put the proper pieces around him and you let him, you know, throw the ball, and you don't try to, you know, keep the training wheels on him, because I think he's a type of quarterback where you got to just let him play and you got to live with the mistakes and see what happens. Daniel Jones, listen, Ethan, Daniel Jones is never going to be a surefire franchise quarterback. He's never going to be that. If he is, I will be the first to tell you that I was wrong, but he's never going to be that. What he's going to be, and this is what a lot of quarterbacks around the league are, and we've seen quarterbacks win Super Bowls this way, is he's going to be a product of the things that surround him. And if you put the proper pieces around him, he might win you a game or two. He might lead you in the playoffs.
But here's the problem, though.
Yes.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
But there are way too many question marks around him for me to even begin to be like, you know what, I could see it. Evan Engram can't catch a ball for whatever reason. I absolutely adore Sterling Shepard, but he's one soft hit away from his brain being mashed potatoes.
Do you have, Saquon Barkley do you have any expectation?
Can't stay healthy.
Do you have any expectation for Kyle Rudolph? I think he can be a really good blanket for a young quarterback like Daniel Jones.
Sure, fine. But again, like, having Jason Witten on your offense isn't going to give you enough upside to win you enough games to be, like, a legitimate contender. You know? Like, that's what Kyle Rudolph is here for, in Jason Garrett's offense, to be that, hey, look, I'm going to be open 70% of the time for a four or five-yard gain over
the
middle.
And I will not drop the pass.
Correct. And that's totally fine. And kudos to the Giants for realizing, hey, we need that upside, and that's why we're going to draft Kadarius
Toney. You need somebody that can get you those 4 or 5 yards and, avoid those third and longs that we've seen.
Absolutely. Listen, there's no debating that. But if you don't have a quarterback, like you said, who's going to win you games, then you need those guys who are going to be able to break 40, 50, 60-yard plays to the house. And, yeah, that could be Kadarius Toney, but outside of that on the roster, it's like, all right, with the offensive line the way it is, with Saquon's health concerns, with Sterling Shepard's health concerns, now even with Kenny Galladay's health concerns a little bit, it's like they're just – listen, I can absolutely see a scenario in which the Giants' offense is competent. But average. I am not – sure, average, because Jason Garrett puts a ceiling on that, and it's a low ceiling.
Yes.
I'm just not going to be able to put my faith in Daniel
Jones. What
is
their ceiling? To you, like, if I ask, what's their ceiling? And I know what their floor is, but what's their ceiling?
Are you asking in terms of wins and losses?
Yeah.
Or like, give me like a standard here.
What if I were to tell you, like, let's say nobody has a perfect offense. Everyone has holes on their on their team. Then, you know, I think it's all about how you mask those deficiencies. And obviously, the Giants' offensive line is going to be concerned. But let's say they get good play on their tackles. And Nick Gates is, you know, has another good year. And the only real question marks are, you know, they have some inconsistencies at tight end, you know, interior of the Lions, question mark. You know, they get a healthy Saquon back. And then, obviously, Kadarius Toney, who I think they're going to bring on slowly. I don't think he's going to have an instant impact. But you have Galladay, you have Sterling Shepard, obviously Kyle Rudolph, Evan Ingram. Where can you, like, with this offense, and obviously, you know, Jason Garrett's going to be the offensive coordinator, what is the ceiling of this team?
So I'll give you an answer, and I'll answer that in terms of wins and losses. But I will preface this by saying my hesitancy around saying that this team can be successful hinges on so many question marks, right? Like, we are basically banking on the offensive line taking a tremendous jump without adding a lot of talent. We are banking on Evan Ingram in his fifth year finally learning how to play football.
Oh, I'm not banking. Evan Ingram is not a part of this thing. He's like the eighth or ninth person, or the eighth or ninth thing on this offense to me.
Understood. But let me just, my spiel being, yes, like Saquon staying healthy, Ingram not dropping balls, Sterling Shepard staying healthy, Kenny Galladay staying healthy and living up to probably not the entirety of his contract, but call it 80% of his contract. And then on top of that, dude, my biggest concern for this team, and people think I'm crazy, is their defense. What lesson did we learn from 2016? And the lesson is that year to year, defense, I'll say defensive variance, is very big.
Right.
Okay? We saw how bad this defense was when James Bradbury was out for 1 week.
Yes.
Okay? We are talking about the National Football League, where injuries are constant. And not only that, it has become, for the last 10, 15 years, it has become harder and harder for younger guys and less experienced guys to get up to speed with all of the restrictions that get put into place by the CBA and due to contract negotiations. This team, like, one or two injuries, and we're talking about, okay, like, maybe they can win, like, five games.
But I think if they lose James Bradbury, Let's not, I'm not for an extended period of time, but I Adoree Jackson, I think, is going to be a really good cornerback too.
But and even then, like we haven't seen him in this system before, right? Like,
but I'm just saying he's a press corner. He's going to fit this system. I mean, I get what you're saying. We haven't seen
him yet. I agree. I am just it's an offensive league, and all of the qualms of this team that you and I talk about and that the fans talk about, it's about the offensive coordinator and it's about the quarterback. Arguably, as it pertains to the Giants, the two most important things. Listen, if Patrick Graham and his defense repeat last year's performance, I will personally, out of Play-Doh, out of clay, out of sand, whatever material our listeners decide, build him a statue out of MetLife Stadium, because that would be incredibly impressive, okay?
Yeah.
But I mentally cannot say that I am going to bank on this team being successful, because their defense, with very little star power, I might add, repeating last year's performance, while every single question mark that we talk about lays on the offensive side of the ball, when we unanimously agree that this is an offensive league.
Let me ask you this. Talent-wise, defensively, did they get better or worse?
Probably a little bit better.
But offensively, again, did they get better or worse?
Probably a little bit better.
So, last year they were
6-10. But again, this is with...
I know, things change, yes.
Yes, but the defense last year was immaculately healthy. And on top of that, when we say probably better, like, yeah, okay, like... On the offensive side of the ball, like, what additions are we talking about? Like, we're talking about Kyle Rudolph being a safety net. We're talking about Kadarius Toney, who's still a question mark. We're talking about Saquon, who we don't know, like, even if he's going to be a full go week one. Like, there's so many question marks. If everything goes perfectly, this team is better on paper this year than last year.
I think two separate things. Offensively, what killed them? What was the most glaring shit to me? Like, they were able to move the ball. The shit that killed them was they weren't able to score in the red zone. Like, I remember clearly games, even games that Colt McCoy started, where they got into the red zone, but these motherfuckers could not score. Remember week one? Remember week one against Pittsburgh? How many times did they get into the red zone? Settle field goals. Remember the interception Daniel Jones threw week one? So now... The reason why I like these additions that they did, they didn't just go out and sign the best available this, the best available that, which is what they did in 2016. They were very tactical with this shit. And maybe I'm giving them too much credit. I don't know. But they located areas where they needed to improve, and they matched the free agent's strength to that.
Not the offensive line.
But the offensive line, the investments were made last year. The problem is, and here's the problem, they're banking on more coaching than talent with the offensive line. Where everywhere else on offense, they're banking on talent instead of coaching.
Sure. You know what I'm saying? I would agree with that. Yes.
So what they did was, we need a fucking tight end who can catch in all facets of the team, but especially in the fucking red zone. And obviously they couldn't go out and they couldn't pay big money to Hunter Henry or Jonnu Smith. But they got Kyle Rudolph. Good tight end. I think he can still play. They needed a receiver, a physical receiver that they can get the ball to in the red zone. Kenny Golladay. Saquon Barkley coming back. Now, Saquon Barkley is only going to be as good as the offensive line is. He can go 15 carries, 33 yards through three quarters, and then break one for 60 yards, and we'll look at the stats and say, oh, Saquon had 100 yards. No, that's not how we're going to do this. My point is that I believe they improved in areas that really fucked them last year. The red zone offensively. Now, the confusing part is, offensive line-wise, they're doing the exact opposite of what they're doing everywhere else. Whereas everywhere else on offense, right, they're saying talent over coaching. On the offensive line, they're saying coaching over talent.
Coaching over talent.
We'll see. I think... They have enough talent, defensively, offensively, where these motherfuckers should make the playoffs. Okay.
Okay.
All right. That's what I'm saying. I don't think the NFC is that good.
I hear you.
I don't think Dallas is that good. I think Dak's injury is a lingering thing. Like, throwing shoulder injuries for a quarterback, the shit doesn't just go away. That's just going to be around throughout the season. And he's going to be getting hit, and he's also coming back from a fucking ankle injury. I don't think the Cowboy defense is good. I think their offensive linemen are getting old. I think Philadelphia, they're sort of like the Giants. And Washington, I'm not buying into Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Go back.
Yes.
Philly is going to be awful. Philly is trash. No. Don't say, oh, Philly's going to be like the Giants. Philly is going to be
garbage. I'm saying that they're like the Giants because they look at key spots and they're like, okay, I can see how we improved here. It depends on what you
Jalen Hurts is not it.
Okay, I got you. Fine.
The other two teams I'll worry about.
Washington, I am not a believer in Ryan Fitzpatrick. And you just spent 15 minutes talking to me about defense and how it's a passing league. I don't know if their defense can repeat what they did last year. I don't think they can fucking throw in Tyler Heineke for a game or two, and he'll win you a game.
That's why they got Fitz. I was sort of shocked they didn't go out and trade up for a quarterback.
That's a discussion for a different podcast. My point is, I don't think the NFC, the gap between the top of the NFCs and the Giants is not that far. I think the Giants have a firm seat at the top of the division, just like Washington does, just like Dallas does, and I think they have a shot to win this division.
Listen, if the Giants win this division, it's because they were the tallest midget in the room.
Well, not if they win 10 or 11 games. This is not...
But okay. Again, if you're shitting on every other team and saying that you have the same concerns...
I have the same concerns about the Giants, but I think the Giants are going to win 10 games. Like, I think Dallas is going to be good. I don't think anybody in this division is a Super Bowl contender. So I don't think their gap is that much larger than the Giants. I think the Giants are a contending team that can make the playoffs. Would you agree with
that? How many wins wins this division?
10.
Really? Wow.
Yes,
okay.
10. 10, you can win the division. 9, it'll be about tie break.
I can see 9 and 8.
9 is tough. I mean, 9 will be about tiebreakers and blah, 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 blah. But I think 10, you win 10, you're going to win the NFC East.
Okay.
And I think the Giants win 10. I do think. They're going to go 10 and 7. Mark it down.
Okay.
You motherfuckers want to call me negative? I'm telling you right now. The New York Giants.
I'm the negative one.
Yeah,
Weiss is
the
not
New
negative.
York Giants are making the fucking playoffs. Excuse my language. I don't like to curse, but I am very optimistic. And this is stuff that I usually with my friends. I'm more negative with them than I am with you. Than when I am here on this show, like I'm you with them. But yeah. I've been telling them, look, the Giants are going to win this division. They're going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
They are going to make the playoffs.
Okay. This is we'll do an audio meme. Uncut Gems, Adam Sandler.
Yes.
I disagree.
Mark it down. Can I talk to you about training camp real quick?
Go ahead.
We live in a world where it's all about going viral, right? Like it's all about like
Are we talking about the retirements?
Not just the retirements.
Okay.
Kelvin Benjamin had my ear. He did. With his criticism, do you know where Kelvin Benjamin lost me? Like, do you know where he had my undivided attention? I was willing to hear this dude out. I really was. I was because
you're a bigger man than most. I'll say that
I am, and I was a fair man, and I didn't put it out there because I was like, I want to hear everything first. I want to see if he's done talking. So I read that article Zach Rosenblatt. Yes, he put out there. And I was reading it, and I'm reading it, and I'm reading it, and he has my ear. And then I read, and I can't believe that he went on record with this, that he was mad, that he felt like he had a good OTAs or minicamp, whatever. But he was mad that the Giants social media team did not post his highlights. And I said to myself, I'm a fucking idiot for giving this guy my attention.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
It's not really a question. I'm going to set you up for this statement.
Yes.
There is one reason, and one reason only, that Kelvin Benjamin even got an invitation.
Dave Gettleman.
And thank you.
Did you see
the
pictures?
You think that Dave Gettleman sat, or Joe Judge sat down with Jason Garrett and they were game planning and they were checking out their roster for the season and said, you know what we could use? You know who I want to give a shot to? Kelvin Benjamin. No fucking way. That was Joe Judge extending an olive branch to his idiot GM and who probably asked, hey, Kelvin's unsigned. Can we bring him in for a tryout? And Joe Judge sighed and said, okay, but he has to lose 20 pounds. And the motherfucker couldn't even do that. He gained.
But he still had my ear. Like, I was willing to hear him out. The fair fan that I am, I was willing to hear Kelvin Benjamin out.
God bless you.
The other two, I don't know, man. I think we're seeing it around the league. Veterans are just retiring. Could it be with the vaccine? Yeah. Could it be the fact that these guys might think that they don't want to spend all year or spend entire camp working out and working hard and then only to not work out? My thing is, if it's Joe Judge related, we would know. Or the three guys. Todd Davis, I forgot. Todd Davis didn't even practice. He didn't even practice with the Giants.
Okay, again, this is we're 40 minutes into the show right now.
Yeah.
This goes back to the beginning. Who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
That's, bro, Duke, you're a great coach, a great offseason trainer. Awesome. Jeff Schwartz, fuck you, buddy. I don't give your opinion a second thought.
And I don't know why Giants fans get so up in arms about him.
Dude, it blows my mind. Come on, you guys got to be better than that. Bro, the same group of fans that is constantly in our mentions, constantly quote tweeting us, saying that we're fucking soy boy cock pussies
for talking about,
bro.
I just get called a fucking asshole, an idiot.
No, dude, I get called a soy boy, cock, pussy, asshole, loser. Dude, the same people who are in my mentions telling me I'm an idiot, that I'm a soy boy, that I'm a cock, that I'm a loser because I hate the general manager who has been solely responsible for why this team has been bad for the last 4 years is having a temper tantrum. Over Jeff Schwartz. Because
who, by the way, says these things to get a rise out of people, by the way. 100%.
Dude, talk about a guy who's probably – I sound like Colin Coward right now. Chris Collinsworth. Here's a guy, right? Yeah. Here's a guy who is clearly bitter that he signed a big deal and couldn't prove that he was worth it because he was constantly injured and has to constantly look at how his brother had success in Kansas City. And I don't even know where his brother is now.
Then he became a guy. Then he became what's his name? Mitchell Schwartz's brother that played football.
Yeah, exactly. He became Mitchell Schwartz's brother, right? Like, dude, I'm not even kidding. Like, Giants fans were like crying, like having tantrums. That
come on, man.
Irrelevant media personalities were talking about how Joe Judge was responsible for veteran players retiring. Guys, I don't care. Like, Jason Garrett's still the offensive coordinator. Daniel Jones is yet to prove himself. Dave Gettleman is still employed. Why am I going to throw a temper tantrum on the timeline?
Because over Joe fucking Looney retired.
Dude, Jeff Schwartz. Yeah, because Joe Looney retired? Are you kidding me? Seriously, that was the tweet, actually. Now that we're talking about it, I remember. Remember when I said I tweeted something? I put my phone down. I looked after dinner. I had, 30 quote retweets. Yes. That was it. Because I told Giants Twitter to grow up and stop crying because Jeff Schwartz and Duke Mayweather were saying, unsubstantiated rumors. Like, my mind is blown. My mind is really blown.
I saw one guy say something.
Be more hypocritical.
I'm like, I've never heard of it. Like, people think that they can put NFL after their name and that automatically
gives them credibility. And they're like a
reporter, yeah. Like, I saw this dude, he just tweeted something and I'm like, and I didn't even bother replying to him because I'm not going to bother myself with him.
Right.
But it's like immediately after he tweeted that, I think it was, Looney came out and said, it was nothing to do with the Giants. I have too much respect for the game, and I know if I can't.
Sure, yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, this is it. And then I said, you know, why would people, like, if you were an NFL player, why would you retire because of Joe Judge? Why not just say, I want to get released?
Yeah.
Right? Like, is Joe Judge the reason that NFL players are going to quit football? You know what I'm saying? Like, so.
Insane.
But again, that's just like, we live in a world where it's about going viral. It's about getting impressions. It's about saying something controversial, getting a rise out of people. That's how you grow your base. And when you're, and Giant I mean, fans,
Jeff are, Schwartz.
Yeah, Giant fans, when you respond to Jeff Schwartz over a tweet that doesn't make sense, he's not informed, God, bro, he has no idea what he's talking about.
Adult men were like in tears in his mentions. And how dare you disrespect Joe Judge?
And you cry
Judge.
About it? I mean, you end
oh
up,
my God.
You're just helping them. I mean, you think they're going to stop?
Oh my God. Embarrassing behavior. Oh, okay.
But I'm glad you and I have the same. I thought maybe you would have a take on it.
I don't care.
It's a coincidence.
I do not care.
Yes.
Like, honestly, like my only, I don't say my only, but what that I can remember right now, my only critique about Joe Judge last year was that in certain spots he should have been way more aggressive, knowing that he had very little to lose as a first-year head coach with the talent that was around him, right? Like,
you don't give a shit about the laps. You don't give a shit.
No, dude. Why do I care about the laps? Yeah. You're a professional football player. Like, your job is literally once a week is to hit other 300-pound men as hard as possible.
Yeah.
If you're not tough enough to run a single lap because you made a mistake, you don't. You literally do not belong in this league. And you know what? I'll give the other side a little bit of credit. Like, I can see a world in which. And I think even Robert Saleh commented on it where he was like, oh, like, I don't make them run laps. Like, they're grown men. Like, they know when they're being held accountable. Listen, to each their own.
Yeah.
If you don't want to make them run laps, don't make them run laps. If you want to make them run laps, make them run laps. And you know what? If the way that the Giants organization is trending, and I really fucking hope that it's trending towards youth and stockpiling draft picks and really just getting younger, and sure, you're going to go out there and you're going to get veterans. You're going to pay a lot of money for some guys.
You're gonna sign Kyle Rudolph, and it's gonna be like, what the hell?
Yeah, of course. But listen, if your team is gonna get younger and leaner, and you're like really truly gonna finally start to rebuild, which hopefully they do, these guys can handle it.
Yes,
they really can.
And they don't have anything. They don't have anything negative to say about it. They understand it
exactly
because I think they realize that they've done worse in their last ten years. Well, not just that. I think maybe they don't like it, but they realize their coach is coming from an authentic place where it's like, this is him. This is who he is. Nonetheless. Sure. I hate the way this team has been being covered, or was being covered throughout the preseason, throughout the training camp.
Oh, well, so okay, another point.
I get it. They're a boring team. They don't have much going on, but I don't need fucking daily this who ran lap sessions.
But you know what? That's what you're gonna get, and that's the price of being a boring team in the New York media. Straight up, that. But then we wonder why
the most boring
quarterback in the league. You have like a goody two shoes running back. You have no one of note on the offensive line who's like going to give you like a good quote, dude. Of course, the media is going to fabricate a story because they have nothing else to talk about. Like,
this is an important year for Daniel Jones. Overanalyze him. There you go.
Correct. Okay, sure, but like, how many you going to write a story about that every single day of the week? Like, listen, I'm not saying I condone it. But I'm saying I understand why they're doing it, but I'm disappointed in Giants fans for fucking crying about it. Like, how long have you been a fan of not just the Giants, but any New York team? Of course Pat Leonard is going to write some clickbait. The fact that you're crying about it, of course I said it. I don't give a fuck. Yo, Pat Leonard, you're welcome on the podcast. You want to come chat? We could chat about how you basically chased OBJ out of New York and then were writing articles about how the Giants were going to regret it.
He literally wrote an article that said that they should trade him. And then when they traded him, wrote an article that said they made a mistake.
Well, 100%. He's a two-faced motherfucker. Anyway, neither here nor there.
Yeah.
If you've been a fan of a New York team at any point in your life, you should not be at all surprised by this clickbait. And if you're crying about it, grow up. That's it. I'm not surprised by it. I understand why they do it. If you're a fan, ignore it. It's literally that simple. And you know what? Like, I'm 28 right now, and I was guilty of the crying. Right? Like, every time there was a fucking OBJ article about how he was a distraction, like, I was, you know, OBJ Defense Brigade. You know, it was half shtick, half me actually getting upset. But like, guys, like, learn, move on, grow up. It is, and like, there are things that are like unsubstantiated and that get harped on for years, like the OBJ thing. And then there's like, okay, this is training camp clickbait. Like, really, you're going to cry because Jeff Schwartz is saying that players are retiring? Grow up. Come on. Come on.
Other things in training camp is I am on the Rodarius Williams hype train.
I don't see how you can't not be on the Rodarius Williams hype train. I think everyone's on the Rodarius Williams
like,
hype train.
I am full throttle. I'm ready to go. Like,
I'll run through a wall for you.
This guy is legit. This guy might be legitimate.
Yeah.
He's just a little old. Well, isn't he? Who's his? Isn't he somebody's brother?
Let me see. Hold on.
I think he's like Cleveland Browns player's brother. Who's that Browns safety?
Second Google result is Rodarius Williams' brother.
Yeah.
He's 24.
24. But his brother's like younger than him, but he's been in the league for like a year or two.
His brother is Greedy Williams.
Greedy Williams. Corner, LSU, yes. And he's Greedy Williams actually younger than Rodarius Williams. Yeah. I am on the... I like this dude, man. Like, he is... I'm getting like... This guy might be an option to start late in the season vibes. I'm okay. On the hype train, man. Like, people get hyped over running laps and people criticizing coaches and shit. Like,
you get hyped over at Rodarius Williams.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Kenny Wiggins intrigues me. Only because this motherfucker I've never heard of in my life, and all of a sudden I open up Twitter and he's like a starting offensive lineman, and I'm like, holy shit. Like, I gotta be on this dude's bandwagon. Kenny Wiggins. Yeah. I'm on his bandwagon. I don't even know what he looks like yet, but I am on his bandwagon.
Okay.
And I still believe in Evan Engram.
I know you do.
He will make a play this season.
That's your fatal flaw.
I just love Evan Engram. The idea of a player like Evan Engram is what I live for, and it just sucks that he can't catch the ball. It does.
I love that.
Are you going to watch the preseason game? I'm going to watch
it. Yeah, I'll watch it.
Like, are you – Daniel Jones is not playing.
Yeah.
The offensive line, people are going to overreact about that, but I think the offensive line, you should be worried about them if you're not already. Like, I don't like to overthink things during training camp, even though I just did with, like, the two guys that I'm hyped about. But, like, in terms of, like, this guy's struggling and this guy's playing so well, I don't think you should – And I have one other thing I want to tell fans. And I've been a victim of this for the past 6 years. Do not fall in love with a player that plays well in the preseason. Especially someone that plays late. Yes. I already see fans talking about David Stills. Right?
Yeah.
Listen, guys. Do not... And I know he's going to play well in the preseason, and there's going to be like, this guy deserves to play, like, you know, Kadarius Toney's hurt, but this guy's actually, you know, playing well. Do not make that mistake. Don't get overly attached to guys that are fighting for roster spots.
Agreed.
Yes. But I'm looking forward to watching Rodarius Williams in the preseason. I'm looking forward to watching Kenny Wiggins. I'm interested to see...
Literally any pass rusher that can offer depth.
I was just about to say that. Any pass rusher. I was hoping Ellerson Smith can get healthy. Maybe he can get healthy to get into preseason. I don't think we're going to see Saquon in the preseason. I don't think we're going to see Galladay in the preseason.
No, definitely not seeing Saquon.
I don't think we're going to see... we're not going to get a good read on the offensive line because I don't think they're going to play as much, although I do think they need as much reps as they can get. Because there are a lot of young players, but I'm looking like this preseason to me is more so about the back half of their roster than the front half, because I think the front half is pretty much set. Like, there's nobody that like their starters are pretty much set. Like, if you look at their depth chart, like, that's probably who's going to be starting. Maybe one or two things can change, but I'm more interested in those guys on the back end. And obviously, we're going to see what they do with the offensive line. Because Joe Judge basically said today that, hey, guys, this offensive line is not a finished product.
Yeah.
So that tells you all you need to know.
Agreed.
But football's back. Are you going to the game? Are you going to any games?
I will be going to games, yeah. No preseason.
No preseason. No.
This is a busy time of year for me for numerous reasons.
Yes.
But regular season, I will be in attendance.
I was actually in New York a couple weeks ago.
Oh, thanks for telling me.
Yeah, I was actually with my brother. I was a tourist. I actually went to Ellis Island. I did a tour of Ellis Island.
Oh, wow.
I did the Statue of Liberty. But I didn't
know. You were close to me.
Yes, but I didn't know that the Statue of Liberty is closed inside. So I was just on the outside and I walked around.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I did not know that.
But yeah.
Whatever. But yeah, no, I'll be at some games. I'll tweet out when I'll be there.
You'll go to a game with me? Yes.
But okay.
Do you think that people will come and bark at us?
Bark at us? No shot.
No shot?
No shot. Keyboard Cowboys.
I'm not afraid of it. I'm just wondering, like, because if I bring my family.
I'm not afraid of it either, bro. Yeah. Yeah, dude. I'll be with my family, too. I don't give a fuck. Dude, listen. You know what? If there is someone who is constantly chatting shit to us on Twitter that actually comes up to us in public and says, fuck you, to our face, I'll shake their hand. I will shake their hand on the spot.
Interesting. I don't know how I'm a negative guy because I think I've been fairly optimistic about this team the last 2 years.
You have. And especially compared to me.
Yes. And compared to actually the average person who covers the team too. Like I have actually been optimistic. And for some reason I don't get it. I think people just I don't know, man. They're living in La La Land. Nonetheless,
they are living in La La Land.
I am very.
You know what? It's a combination of the Giants being bad and going on almost year two or year and a half of the pandemic. It's not good for people's mental health.
No.
You know?
But I am very excited about this season. You guys don't even understand. Like everywhere I go and I see somebody who knows that I'm a Giants fan and they ask me, are you ready for football? I'm like, yeah, my team is actually going to be good this year. That's what I say. That is what I say.
You are the eternal optimist.
Listen, this is not about optimism. This is not me banking on fucking to be a middle linebacker. This is not me banking on Larry Donnell.
Oh, my God. You know,
Larry Donnell to be a Pro Bowl tight end.
If I had the motivation, I would note that timestamp and bleep out his name. I don't ever want to hear his name again.
No, this is not this false hope. I think this team is really good.
God bless you.
I have confidence in their coaches for the most part. I have confidence in some of the players that they brought in. I have confidence in some of the young players that I think are going to take a next step. I'm going to be very, very honest with you. I haven't been this optimistic about the Giants since
2017, because we were optimistic. We were both foolishly optimistic after the mirage of 2016. Yeah.
No, I'm more optimistic than 2017.
Okay.
Yes, because I think much more highly of certain players in key spots. I am way more optimistic than 2017. I am, let me see where I can say it, probably since the year after they won the Super Bowl, when I said that they were going to go back to the playoffs and possibly the NFC Championship game.
Wow.
I did say that, 2012, yes.
You did.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're optimistic. I am extremely optimistic.
Even though I have huge question marks about their quarterback, I just think everything around him is so much better.
I gotcha. Yes. Listen, I understand where you're coming from. I just think that a lot has to go right for you to be right.
When I tweet out this episode,
yes.
I'm going to make sure I emphasize to people how fucking optimistic I am about this team.
Good. You know what?
And confident I am about this team.
I welcome that. We need a little bit of yin and yang here, and we need some positives and negatives.
And if any motherfucker in the middle of the season, when I'm complaining about this team not living up to my standard, comes to me and says some shit to me that I'm negative, I'm going to remind them about this episode, this night.
Done.
We're going to close on this. Can I close
August,
on this?
Absolutely. I was going to say, well, because I have to take a piss, and
yes.
We're going up on an hour.
All right.
Okay. Thursday, August 12th, 2021.
Yes.
The hour is 10:09 p.m.
Yes.
Go ahead.
the New York Giants will win the NFC East. And they're not going to win in the NFC East at a below 500 mark because of division. So no, they are going to win 10 games. And they are going to win the NFC East. And they're going to host a playoff game. You heard that okay. right here. I said it. You heard the timestamp. They are going to win the NFC East. So any motherfucker that comes into my mentions calling me negative better understand what I'm just saying. I am more optimistic than you and your dad. Yeah. They're going to
and his dad and your mom and your kid
and the guy that helped you complain to Jeff Swartz. I'm more optimistic than all of you guys. The New York Giants will win the NFC East.
All right, I love it. All right, we'll
end on
that.
Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for listening. All right. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a negative review. As long as it has 5 stars, tell us something you don't like. All right. Preseason underway. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Peace.